This segment with Joe Madden is brought to you by Sam Adams Pursue Better. He is the Cubs manager, and he joins us right now on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com from Atlanta. How are you, Joe?
I am well. How are you guys? Where you been?
I've been, you know, we had an all-star break. You were busy.
Yeah.
We didn't get to talk, but here you are, and here we are. Whatever you said to the guys at the break, good job. Because they've now picked it up. I assume it's some kind of magic trick that you have done that has gotten them going, right?
You know, it's just we're finally getting back our normal methods, actually. Like I talked about, that whole first half was just awkward but not unexpected. And now the beginning of the second half, Baltimore, the first game in Atlanta, really more familiar to me. Even, and I'm telling you, even those last couple games before the break, we just had a couple badly pitched games, but the vibe among the group was good. So, again, I just like what we're doing right now. Obviously, that's an understatement. Just better at bats. Obviously, the starting pitching's picked it up. Everything. Just if you're in our dugout, you can feel the energy right now.
So it feels different, Joe, does it? I mean, you get some starting pitching, everything seems to change quickly.
Yeah, that's what this game's all about. I said it yesterday. The game could have been called pitching as opposed to baseball. If you don't pitch, you really can't win with any kind of consistency. You can't get hot. Without good starting pitching, you just cannot. It's just going to be the ebb and flow of the season. So right now, we've got several good starts in a row. Kyle Hendricks also had a good start last night in AA on rehab. Johnny was outstanding. We got John Lackey back tonight. So let's just keep it. Let's just keep going in that direction. The guys, like I said, are feeling good about themselves, and it's feeling more familiar.
That energy, that's the good stuff. What happened to the energy as affected by the trade when Jose Quintana enters the room, both metaphorically and physically? How did that affect the energy?
Yeah, of course. You know, just symbolically, to get a player of that caliber to walk in your clubhouse at this time of the year, always is going to pick the group up. And then for him to go out and do exactly what he did, I mean, that was a tremendous outing in Baltimore. Combination of strike throwing, changing of speeds, composure, everything about his outing was nearly perfect. So that happens, and then, of course, John Lester follows the whole thing up. He's a difference maker. This guy, just watching him, I've seen him in the past, obviously, with the White Sox, even in the American League. It's just really fun to be on the field with him. He's a pro. He's an absolute pro. The guy's sincere. He's a nice man. Eyeball contact when you speak with him, very calm. Listen, he's, what, 27, 28? There's another level of him out there yet, too.
Wow. You know, I was listening to those quotes from you after you got a chance to watch every pitch of him up close in this kind of way, as you haven't in a while. He pitched three times against Tampa Bay when you were there, but it's a while back to begin with.
Yeah.
Any commonalities with John Lester when you see him out there in terms of toughness and just kind of pounding the strike zone, going right at guys?
Focus is outstanding. Yeah, there's that similarity, the focus. Really, each pitch means something to them. Each pitch does have a purpose. I think they really do expect to do well. They expect to win the pitch every time they throw it. They got this different level of mentality that makes them so successful. And actually, Quintana, to me, going back in time for me a little bit, resembled Mark Langston to me. That was my first impression watching him pitch. I didn't really watch him, I guess, as closely as I did the other day. But that kind of stuff, the curveball's really gotten good. Changeup, Langley had a great changeup, and the fastball, this really good carry at home plate. When you watch his low fastball, it never drops, it carries. And I think it really jumps on the hitter. So for a lot of different reasons, he's got the focus of John and kind of the appearance of Langley to me a little bit.
When you say there's another level to him, how much better do you think he can be, Joe, and what do you think that he could do better than he's doing right now?
I just think it's game planning. You know, that's my first impression. Just in talking to the guys and watching him pitch the other day, just having getting to know the National League right now. You have one less hitter, obviously. The DH is no longer there. And on top of that, really understanding what he's got versus this hitter and game planning in advance. Because I think he could really execute a game plan. He's got that kind of command. So if you give him good intel and he goes out there one less hitter, I really believe that you're going to see this guy really take off literally.
So who's in charge of making sure that he finds that next level?
He is. It's always about the player. You know, as coaches, as staff, we are there to help supplement give information, watch to make sure that maybe, you know, physically you're not getting out of your delivery. But more than anything, we're there to give you good mental notes or thoughts. And at that point, though, it's up to the student actually to apply it. So for me, it's always about the student, the player. We are there to augment his ability somehow, and we have that. Our coaching staff is outstanding. So it begins with us giving him intel, information. Then it's up to the pitcher to believe it and believe that it's going to be impactful, and I want to do this, and then go out there and execute. And not everybody can do that. Now, that's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody can take a good game plan and go out there and throw the baseball where he wants to for 100 pitches.
You know, John Lester had a rough go for, what, the last 8-9 starts overall, and then said after last night, I got my body to repeat better. So something physically felt a little better to Johnny's throw. 94 in the seventh inning, and obviously the control was there. What changed, if anything?
I was just talking to Ronnie Kuma. We were just down in the gym here, and we were laughing about it. What changed is that he got some rest. He got rest. I mean, honestly, when your body's beat up a little bit, the great line there is he was able to repeat. His body is able to repeat or repeat his delivery more consistently. That's what it comes down to. Aches and pains, little nicks, whatever, like a little tweak or a feel in your shoulder, your elbow, whatever, your forearm, your back, whatever it might be, could take you out of this rhythm. So I'm certain that rest did him a lot of good. He went out there and he probably felt like he was still in spring training all over again, which is obviously a wonderful thing. So when I talk about resting guys and giving guys time, that's exactly what I'm talking about, because if your body is constantly, you know, creating a little bit different path just based on something that's bothering you a bit, it's not going to be the same, especially for a throwing motion. So the throwing motion and the pitcher, you really want to keep them well so that they can repeat their delivery.
Kyle Hendricks looked like he was getting it together, and then he had a couple of tough starts, and then he's got the hand problem. Was that really most of why, do you think, he was struggling?
I don't know. I thought he was, like you said, I thought early on the velocity was down just a click. I thought the fastball and change of velocities were too close together to create deception. And then all of a sudden it became a little bit wider apart. The fastball got up 86, 87, 88, and the changeup stayed where it was. So there's this disparity between the two pitches, which creates more deception to the hitter. So I think early on it was just a matter of that his fastball wasn't as alive. And then it got that way. Then it kind of came back a little bit. Maybe it was the hand. Maybe he had felt it was not saying anything. But right now, apparently still in the ball, great. When you talk to him, when he's got that little smirk or smile, he feels good. You know, when you talk to these guys and you ask them how they're doing, man, you just got to read faces. And right now, the last time I saw him, he was feeling really good about himself. So obviously, last night was outstanding. And as of right now, you got two new acquisitions for a rotation in Quintana and Kyle coming back.
Yeah, that's a hell of a way to be able to think about it. I mean, if you got Kyle of last year coming back, all of a sudden that's a different thing. Five perfect innings last night for Kyle. Is that it? Is he coming back next time around through?
Yeah, he'll be ready to pitch. We just got to wait till today to make sure everything feels great again. You always wait for the day after before you start making your plans. So I'll get that word when I get to the ballpark today. But, yeah, eager to get him back out there, no question. How do you do that? We're going to have to figure that out. As we move it forward from here, Montgomery's pitching tomorrow, and Johnny Lackey today. We'll just, you know, Montgomery's been in the bullpen in the past, but we do see him as a real solid starting option. Again, I'm not even attempting to show my hand or tip it. I don't know the answer yet. We're just going to wait, but I do know Kyle will be back in there pitching as a starter.
Let's say John struggles tonight, John Lackey, and he's had some struggles, obviously, this year. Is that something that you'd entertain, the possibility of moving him back to the bullpen? Just, is that even on the table for you?
Right now, it's not. I'm being, you know, sincere with you. That's not been discussed at all. I have a lot of faith in John Lackey. Even if the start tonight wasn't exactly what you're looking for, this guy, the word is compete. I think that word's not utilized enough anymore in sports in general. When you talk of everything's always reduced to numbers and math and streaks and whatever. I like the word compete a lot. I think John Lackey competes as well as anybody in the big league still till today. And so that's what I look for with John. We've seen some slow starts out of the gate in games, but if you watch the game in progress, he makes adjustments, he competes, and he gets you to the sixth inning. So I have a lot of faith in John Lackey. I'm really eager to watch him pitch tonight after getting a little bit of a break also. His foot's feeling better. So we'll see where that takes us. But at the end of the year, man, when it really counts, August, September, when it matters, those guys that have been there, done that, are really important to have, and guys that know how to compete.
Speaking of competing, I watch Wade Davis even on the days when he doesn't have maybe his best stuff, and last night he gets into a little bit of trouble. Mm-hmm. And he still will not give in, Joe. Doesn't matter, bases loaded. Doesn't matter if it's two balls, three balls. He will not give in. Is that something you can teach a pitcher, or is that just something you have to have?
I think it's innate. Also, see, with him, it's not like he's wild because he's got great command.
Yeah.
And he's got so many different weapons, and he chooses not to throw a strike sometimes. I would just like, I mean, for me with him, I love his fastball. I just wish that he'd be a little bit more aggressive with his fastball strike-wise. He's throwing up to 98 last night, and I think their gun was accurate. When he really needs to step on it, he can. I think as starting as a starter and then folding to the back of the bullpen has created that kind of mentality for him. A lot of guys that are in that position probably spent a little time maybe starting in the minor leagues. Eventually, this guy can't be a starter. Let's put him in the bullpen. He becomes a late guy, late inning closer kind of guy. So this guy's been, he's been nurtured as a starter. So I think you see a starter closing right now, and he wants to pitch. And I think, you know, like last night, for instance, and he hasn't pitched in a bit, but he did in Baltimore. He pitched pretty well there, I should say that. So I think that's what you're saying, like a pitcher's mentality as opposed to purely a closer's mentality.
That's interesting. You know, in terms of those different mentalities, Theo Epstein described Kyle Schwarber's troubles as looking more like a slugger than a hitter. And I'm wondering if now that Kyle's back, if you see him looking a bit more like a hitter as opposed to a slugger, certainly going opposite field a lot more.
Absolutely. It's not just up there trying to jerk on everything. And, you know, Johnny Mailey and Hinsky, Eric, and Schwarbs have gotten together to really try to get that back being part of his game plan. And also Andy Haynes, our minor league hitting instructor, does great work, too. So, yeah, absolutely. You're seeing a definite approach or attempt to not just get up there, roll over the ball, and pull it. That's what gets him in trouble. He's got such a really good ability to hit the ball in the left center field gap, middle of the ballpark. His right field foul line, for me, should be right center field. If you could just draw a line from home plate to right center, wherever it says like 370, 385, whatever, if he could make that his right field foul line, that'd be perfect. So he's just really stay inside the ball. He try to get the barrel to the ball. That's when you see less ground ball rollovers, and you could really see his maximum hitting potential because, yes, he should – He is a slugger, but he's also a very good hitter. And he's not going to be a great hitter with the shift, ground balls, three guys on that side of the infield. It's really hard for a left-handed hitter to be a good hitter if he purely just tries to pull the ball.
He looks awful comfortable down there in that lineup, Joe. Just saying, just one guy's opinion here about how comfortable he looks. And I know you've said you would consider moving him back up if you needed to. But how are you feeling about leadoff in general, and I guess as regards to Kyle, if ever?
Well, I think Zoe's done a nice job right there. Johnny J's done a nice job up there. We experimented with Rizzo and Contreras. Both of them have done great jobs. I just think for right now, I think he's gotten better. I don't think he's totally settled in. I'm talking about Kyle. So I don't think he's ready to be moved at this moment. But we'll see. Again, just keep an open mind. You always got to keep an open mind because his talents really do permit us to consider that in the future. But for right now, I agree with you. I think he looks very comfortable right there.
When you saw Albert Almora's home run the other night, what went through your mind? What do you think of in terms of his potential?
Well, you know, you saw his right central, a left-handed pitcher. If you got to break him down offensively right now, he's two different players. Look at his OPS versus lefties. Look at his OPS versus righties. When he's able to handle the right-handed breaking ball better, it's not unlike Javi. You know, Javi's can be a little bit quick, pulling off of sliders and pitches down and away from righties. Albert can do the same thing. So as Albert really understands or learns to see the ball first on the right side and plays with the middle of the field and really picks up his game versus right-handed pitchers, the guy absolutely could start in the big leagues. But for right now, he's a great platoon player because he's very dangerous against lefty, and you saw that the other day. That was left-handed pitcher bomb to right center.
Is it a chicken or the egg kind of thing? Does he need more opportunities in order to figure that out, or is he going to have to figure that out first before you give him more opportunities?
Well, he's had the same opportunities in the minor league, and this is kind of something that has followed him all the way through. Of course, more opportunities would be beneficial, but then that means you don't play Happ or you don't play John Jay. So those are the kind of choices you have to make. If you look at our lineup today and the five guys on the bench, every one of those five guys on the bench are worthy of starting tonight. So that's a really solid dilemma that we have right now. You got eight players that you're playing that you like. You got a full bench that you like, and you want to keep these guys active so that they don't lose their edge. It's a great problem to have. So when people just blanketly say they want to see Albert more, then you have to tell me who you don't want to see as often.
That's the kind of problem we're talking about. That's the good kind of problem, Joe.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. It was only a couple of weeks ago. You were having trouble, Joe, finding guys to play.
Yeah, we were. Well, we were hurt. We had, Zagunas was in there a lot. Caratini came up and he was playing. And that's what happens when you have injuries and you're missing people. Then when you get the full complement back, it's two different teams. And that's what you have to understand. It's not when the World Series, the defending championship Cubs are playing and you got a bunch of guys that weren't there last year. It's, it's the Cubs, yeah, but it's not necessarily the same armament that you had in the previous year. Now we're getting back to full strength. It's a different look entirely.
John Lester last night, by the way, first Cubs pitcher to have an extra base hit and a stolen base in the same game since Rick Sutcliffe in 1988. Lester ripped one off the wall last night for a double. He wants that homer really bad, doesn't he? He's like, he dreams of that home run.
Well, didn't he hit one to left center at our place a couple of years ago?
It didn't get out.
I thought he did it. I thought he hit it. Okay.
Yeah, no, it got really close and didn't get out. I was there that day for postgame, and he was like, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. He said, I just don't know if it's ever going to happen.
Well, I said from the beginning, technically he's got a great swing. He's got a great swing, and he's a very good bunter. We missed opportunity for a safety squeeze with him, but John Lester's a really good athlete. The stolen base, we all love that too. But when he hits the ball and hits it hard, it does not surprise me. If you put a camera on his open side looking in and you break down his swing and how it works, it's very good. So when he hits the ball like that, it doesn't surprise me.
Second and third, nobody out, 1-1 count. Did you put on the safety there?
With Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, there's different ways to do it. It just depends on the placement of the first baseman and how good your bunter is and who's the runner at third. I think that was Jason. Who was at third? Was it Hayward?
I think so.
Yeah, that's when you have a base runner like him at third base, you could really take liberties in trying to do different things because he's that good.
So Lester with the stolen base, Contreras and Bryant with stolen bases. Mindset, these guys going on their own, a conversation, because that looked more aggressive last night.
Well, again, it's just about the opposition. It's who their pitcher is and who their catcher is. Mm-hmm. Somebody relatively quick with the Cardinals and Yadier, you're not doing that. So you have to pick your spots. We are not necessarily a base-stealing team. Why would you want to run into outs if it's not there? Hit and runs, it's hard to hit and run against pitchers that don't throw strikes, and it's hard to hit and run with guys that really swing and miss a lot. So there's all these different factors involved in when you want to and not want to do something. If you have a sinker ball pitcher that throws strikes, that's a good time to try the hit and run. Excuse me. Go ahead.
You mentioned the good approaches and the good at bats, and it sure has been fun to watch these last four games, including Addison Russell. That's a 1-0 pitch where he hits the two-out double last night, just guessing fastball, sitting on it. He seems to have had a better approach here after the break. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, how about the home run in Baltimore?
Yep.
How about that? I mean, that thing there, that might turn out to be our biggest hit of the year as we continue to move this thing forward. I'll tell you another play that nobody even talked about, and I failed to last night, was the block by Contreras on that breaking ball in the dirt. Lane Adams at third base last night. Replay that block. That's one for the ages right there. Those are the kind of things that win you championships. Plays like that. And that went totally unnoticed. And I thought, my God, I told him right after the game how great that was. And then again, Addison, after you give up an 8-run lead, pops one in the ninth inning against an outstanding relief pitcher. Those are the kind of things you have to do because it's not going to be an oil painting every night. You've got to be able to generate these kind of victories, utilizing your entire roster to really win it all.
I suppose if you knew the answer, Joe, you'd probably have done it already. But when you see good Jake Arrieta versus the not-so-good Jake Arrieta, have you figured out the difference between the two?
Fastball command. I'm telling you, I'll probably say that about every starting pitcher that that's out there. When they're really good, they normally have fastball command. If you have fastball command, you've heard the term effective velocity, you don't have to be throwing 95. If you throw 91, 92, and you're throwing it where you want to, spotting it up, there's not a whole lot a hitter can do with that. I just don't like when pitchers try to trick hitters all the time, especially early in the game, and then all of a sudden they are at about 85, 90 pitches in the fifth inning because you're working too hard to get your outs. I prefer pitchers not working so hard to get their outs, especially early in the game, because there's going to come those moments in the latter part of the game. So I like spotted up fastballs. I like early count outs. I really believe in the concept of trying to get in that within your first three pitches, make the hitter put the ball in play. We have defense out there, let him play. So when you're spotting up your fastball, it's hard for the hitter to square it up. And normally, with a good active defense like ours, we can cover.
I love when you throw an old school name that you once coached out there as a comp, or somebody brings you to mind, and you made me run to Mark Langston's baseball reference page, because I remember him as like the fireballer who struck out a million guys in Seattle. But by the time you had him in California, he was a bit more of a pitcher, wasn't he?
Well, I had Langley and I played together in 1980 in Boulder, Colorado. I caught him when he was still at San Jose State.
Wow.
And when you catch him and you sit low, I'm telling you, the ball just never, it carries the same plane, even when it's like ankle high. They got such great spin on the ball. And then the thing about Langley, he's got the great curveball, but nobody ever talked about his changeup. His changeup was wonderful, great changeup. And that's what he developed as he moved it along. So he had fastball, curveball, outstanding changeup with great carry on the fastball. And you see Quintana, when he pitches, he throws that letter high fastball. It's hard to catch up. So that's what I was talking about, the carry on the fastball. I think Jose's really developed this nice curveball, and I love his change. Listen, fastball, changeup, curveball, to me, that's the best way for any pitcher to go.
And maybe that arm is going to stay healthy for a good long time with that mix and the way he throws it, too. Sure seems like it.
That'd be awesome. I mean, he's a strong kid, man. Like I said, when you get a chance to talk to him, please do, because he's very impressive. Looks you in the eyeballs, man. He's straight up. I really enjoyed meeting him for the first time.
Joe, thanks. Appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. You be well.
You got it. It's Joe Madden. That segment brought to you by State Farm. State Farm, here to help life go right. It's Spiegs and Rosner. We'll react to that and talk with you guys next on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Joe Madden, moments ago on The Score. This segment brought to you by AutoZone. Hurry in, save big. Get a $20 AutoZone gift card by mail-in rebate when you buy select automotive batteries. Restrictions and details apply. Limit two. Get in the zone, AutoZone. You think all front office baseball people hate managers? Like all GMs, all baseball bosses throughout the many decades? Because you can get the groceries as much as you want, and then when some jamoke is making the meal, there's no way it's exactly like you'd want it.
I think probably in today's game, with so many more smarter people running teams, as opposed to guys who were not dissimilar from their managers in most ways, I think it's probably more pronounced today than it's ever been, because you have some really smart people doing really smart things, and they'd like for their managers to be as smart as they are, and they may not always be. Like I was trying to, in my mind, trying to picture Andrew Friedman and Don Mattingly together, you know? Like, I don't know why that always popped into my head, but I always laugh
because that didn't last.
Well, I always laugh when I think about that, because that's just impossible.
Because Mattingly is
you know, stupid, is well, what he is.
And he's also, yeah. He went by his very weird gut a lot of times.
But you have to have a reason, even if you want to go by your gut, or you have a feel. I mean, all managers have a feel for certain things, but you have to at least have a reason. There has to be. You can't just say, that's just what I decided to do. You have to say, well, all right, I took these things into consideration, and then I went with this.
Right.
You have to have a reason. No, so it may be more pronounced today than it's ever been, because in the past, you had a lot of GMs who were ex-players or ex-managers who, just like the managers, were ex-players or ex-coaches, and they were frequently of the same mind on many things. So it's probably worse today. I think of Don Zimmer and just how much he hated pitchers. Like in those days, all managers hated pitchers.
Just hated them?
Because they just made their lives miserable. It's just... Just go pitch. Go pitch and get outs. I don't know. Maybe that hasn't changed.
No, maybe that hasn't changed. But, you know, it's like, you know, Joe's talking about
Arrieta, and he's just like, just throw a strike. For the love of God, throw a strike. Like, he can pound strikes for four innings, and then in the fifth throw 50 pitches and not have any idea how to throw a strike. And I don't know, if I were a manager, how I would reconcile that.
Well, Jake,
how can you be so dialed in and then so impossibly inaccurate?
Well, because when it's a guy like Jake, you see just there's so much going on.
Yeah, it's a lot.
On the delivery, there's like...
He's not Bryson DeChambeau.
The golfer. Or he's not John Lester. He's not Jose Quintana. That's why Jose Quintana.
He's in love with Jose Quintana already.
Could you tell?
Because it's fast.
Yeah.
And it's get the ball and throw, it's pound the strike zone, and it's no three. It's not, I score five runs for you, and then you go to 3-0 on the first batter. On the first batter.
Right, right, right.
You don't get that from Jose Quintana.
You were kind of laughing at me yesterday as I was like reading these quotes from Joe, who sounded like a guy who's never seen Jose Quintana before in his life. But he was locked in on him. He's like, oh, man, look at that guy. Wow. Because you watch him go about his business, and just as fast as he does, it's like all of a sudden having Mark Burley. It's like having a lineup or a rotation full of Jason Marquez, you know, Jason Marquez. And then all of a sudden, here you go with Mark Burley. Oh, my God, the game's over already.
Look at what he's been through for 3.5 months, and now this guy walks in who's just extremely professional.
Yep.
He looks you in the eye when he talks to you. He probably says, yes, sir. He probably says, whatever you need.
As opposed to John Lackey, who's kind of tipped his hand, how he feels about Joe.
Arrieta's the guy that would drive me crazy. Just drive me crazy. Because you've seen historically, great pitching.
Yeah.
And then you've seen this mishmash of throwing across your body and not being able to throw a strike.
Mm-hmm.
And lose it so fast. Like, when do you get a guy up? You tell me.
Yeah.
Okay, you tell me.
Yeah, no joke.
You know,
what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to gauge that?
You know he's standing in the dugout going, all right, you tell me, okay? Because I don't know. I have the slightest damn idea. He just got 18 guys out in a row. Looks like he's Cy Young, and now he can't throw a strike.
Uh-huh.
What am I supposed to do?
He threw 14 changeups in this game. Next time out, he gets ripped. He hits two. He throws two changeups. I don't know what's happening. The hell. All right, we'll continue to react to this and share the exasperation as we as we see it after this on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, that's a great job by Rick Camp and the boys in pulling that specific cut from Joe Maddon last half hour on The Score. That was in response to a follow-up from Barry Rosder. Because Joe had said he thinks Quintana can get even better. And you said, how? And he said, I just think game planning. And that answer is really interesting because he starts to say something, kind of backs off a little bit. And he's like, he's clearly proud of what they do. Chris Bosio, Mike Borzello, and the Brainiacs, and all the game, all the dorks. The dorks, the cavalcade of dorks that they have working on this stuff. He's proud of what they do, and he sees an aptitude already in Quintana to drink it in. And like those things could meld and let this guy, oh my God, I can have this kind of a plan. And a texter heard that earlier and texted this during the break. Was Joe making a general statement about Quintana's future improvement, or was he commenting on the White Sox poor pitching game planning? Now, I don't think he was commenting on the White Sox poor pitching game planning as much as he was bragging about what they do with the Cubs and seeing the excitement level. But it's a fair question.
Well,
it's a fair place to go in terms of like he's seeing, oh my God, Quintana would take to this, what we do. And not every team is the same in these areas.
He's also a respectful guy and wants to be careful not to make it sound like he's taking some shot at the White Sox.
Right,
there.
Right. But it's a natural place to go when you realize that, look, some teams are better than others with this stuff. The Rays and the Dodgers and the Astros and the Cubs are still considered to be four of the very, very best at using analytics and interpreting it as an organization and then transmitting that down to the player.
David Ross was a pretty big part of that too. And he was almost like part of the coaching staff in terms of translating that stuff and making sure that if he wasn't on the field, whoever was knew exactly what it was that they wanted done.
Hmm.
which has been something of a transition this year, too.
Sure.
Because he's not there. I wonder if Joe thinks that there's another level to how he can outsmart hitters with the kind of stuff that he has, and that the Cubs have the ability to give him that, but he just didn't want to say it.
I think he basically did say it. I'm glad you asked the follow-up, and I think he basically did say it, that it's like, this is a guy with really good stuff, really good control, and knows what he's doing, but if we arm him, I mean, that's basically what he said. If we arm him with this stuff and he could have a game plan and attack a team, then he could dominate a team.
Did you ever watch Jose Quintana and think he's out of sequence? That maybe he's pitching out of sequence? Because I never really felt that, but maybe the Cubs think that he was.
I don't know. I mean, that's the kind of thing that they scout, is they look for pitching, obviously, and you look around, you try to find somebody who's being poorly coached, and they think they can coach somebody up. And again, it's not about Don Cooper, who obviously has proven to be a very, very good pitching coach in the major leagues for a long time. It's just different orgs have different ways of doing
maybe
things.
Maybe he's more on the mechanical side than he is on the approach side.
Well, we know Coop is great with the mechanical side, right?
I mean, but maybe they're seeing something on the approach side.
They're seeing something on the approach side and the analytical side. Now, you know, that's a kind of healthy arrogance a ball club is probably just has, or an organization just has. But they know, in certain places with their pitching coach, like the Pirates know, if they get somebody who's good but has a little bit of a flaw, that Ray Searidge might fix him, right? And history has shown you that their pitching coach will fix him. Theo was raving about Derek Johnson, who's now the pitching coach in Milwaukee, right? Certain orgs, you find a guy. We know that the Orioles are a screwy organization, and everybody wants to get an Oriole. An Oriole with an upside. Who can I get? How do I get Kevin Gausman from you? How do I get Dylan Bundy before you guys screw him up completely? You know? You grab somebody who's real good, but then help take him to the next level with a plan. I'll be very interested. If Jose Quintana takes off statistically, people will point to the National League and one or two fewer hitters.
And getting run support.
And getting run support and all that. But I'll be very interested to see if his game plans shift to a more elevated place. They certainly, I think the Cubs believe it will.
Wow.
Interesting, right?
So we were both looking at Mark Langston's baseball reference page.
Yes.
And the first thing.
In between trying to keep up with the Brian Campbell press conference.
That's really happening, by the way.
Right.
I wasn't making that up.
No.
That's really happening.
They're really
Brian
doing
Campbell's
it.
Having a retirement press
they
conference.
They are. With the whole team is there. The organization is there. I believe the Ice Girls are there in the back.
When Tommy LaStella retires, that will be also a live on CSN.
They wheeled in the statues from outside. They brought him in.
He's got one. They have one for him.
I don't think I'd want to retire any other way but a Blackhawk, so.
Oh, God. See, now I feel bad. He's crying. He's crying about retiring as a Blackhawk.
I don't feel bad.
Of course you don't. You're a horrendous individual.
So I'm looking at
Hold on. This segment is brought to you by AutoZone. Hurry and save big. Get a $20 AutoZone gift card by mail-in rebate when you buy select automotive batteries. Restrictions and details apply. Limit two. Get in the zone, AutoZone. We are during hour number three of the Brian Campbell press conference.
22 minutes. It's still going on.
It's more than he plays in a game.
That's longer than Theo's opening press conference.
Why do you hate Brian Campbell?
I don't. Yeah, I just don't. It's still going on. My God. Bobby Hull is there. Dennis Savard. No, they're not. All right, so I'm looking at Langston's baseball reference page, and of course, the first thing I remember is the trade for Randy Johnson in 89 that brought Langston to Montreal. And obviously, you know that the Cubs, the boys of Zimmer, held off the Montreal Expos that year. But Langston went 12-9 with a 2.39 in 24 starts in 176 innings with 175 strikeouts. He did his job. I don't remember the trade being that early in the season, but it did occur on May 25th. May 25th. That's the guy. I mean, they gave up Randy Johnson. Actually, Gene Harris was in that deal. Gene Harris went on to have a pretty nice career, didn't he, as a reliever? But in any case, May 25th was the deal. So that's what happens. It's 6 degrees of Kevin Tappany. You mention a name, we go to Baseball Reference, right, and things start to happen.
Boy, a lot of angry Sox fans thinking that we were ripping Don Cooper. And
not at all.
Ripping the White Sox.
I didn't hear that. I didn't say that. I don't think you did.
No, I didn't say it. Such garbage. Quintana's been great. He was lights out for the last month and a half. It's going to be great for the Cubs. It'll have nothing to do with Bossio. It'll be all about the NL.
Oh, try to
you
be
guys
a little,
are just what, looking for ways to credit the Cubs for something they don't deserve.
Try to be a little more sensitive. That's what I would suggest, is go through your life being more sensitive and finding reasons to be hurt. That's what
as you laughed at the Brian Campbell press conference.
That's what I suggest. That's what I suggest you do, is definitely go out of your way to find reasons to feel picked on. That's good. That'll get you a long way in life, and you'll probably be very successful.
Mm-hmm. What else is Brian Campbell saying? Is he still talking? Can we go?
CSN cut away.
In the middle of it? They left in the middle?
They left only 23 minutes of the press conference they carried? How dare they? How dare they?
When's the last time he played 23 minutes in a game?
You know, that's not fair, Campy. It's just not fair. This segment of unfairness from Rick Camp and Barry Rosner was brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. We will transition with Bernstein and Goff, who have Jake Arrieta at 2 o'clock on 670 The Score.